shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news in shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
And Jesus made this statement shortly before his death. He said, "A little while and you will not see me." Preparing them for his crucifixion and his death. "But again, in a little while, you will see me, because I go to the Father." So in a little while, you won't see me, but then in a little while, you will see me, because I go to the Father. Now you could say, well, this verse refers to the second coming. He's going to leave, and then, of course, he's going to return to us. And that would be true. Second coming would be true. But also, when he goes to the Father, something very special happens. The Holy Spirit is dispatched from heaven, and he arrives upon the earth on the day of Pentecost in a very unique and special way to communicate to the world as an evangelist, and then also to reveal to the church as a teacher the manifestation or the essence of who Christ is and what he has done and accomplished upon the earth through the crucifixion and through his life. So this is a very unique ministry that is being given to the Holy Spirit to come upon the earth to evangelize and to reveal Christ to the hearts of his followers. And John 16, 13 and 14, you can read that there. That is his ministry. So although we cannot physically see him at this time, we can't physically see Jesus at this time until, number one, he meets us in the air during the rapture in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, or if you, unfortunately you're not saved, you'll see him in Revelation 1:7 when every eye sees him and he returns in the second coming. But until then, we don't see him, not in the physical, except we might see him in our mind's eye, through our imagination, and through our hearts by faith. We might see him in our hearts. In 1 Peter 1:8, Peter told those whom he was pastor over, he was teaching his flock and saying, "You have not seen him, but you love him." 1 Peter 1:8, he said, "You didn't see him." Now Peter saw him, Peter walked with him. But these people who had received him as their Savior now had never seen Jesus, but they love him. "And though now you do not see him, yet you believe in him and rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." And that is the position of us who were not there as apostles or disciples when Jesus lived on the earth. We don't get to see him in the physical. And we get to see him perhaps in a vision within our hearts or minds or in our imaginations. We might have a time in our life where we believe with all of our hearts that we saw the Lord, but it's all up in the imagination that the Holy Spirit uses, not physically. You don't physically see him. If you do, you can write a book and make a lot of money. But you would be lying, because this verse says you don't see him. But mostly if you're making money, people don't care if they lie. But no physical appearance in the mind's eye, yes, but in the physical, no, until the rapture, unless you had a personal rapture or personal second coming. He will not come back until that time, not in the physical. So by faith, we do see the invisible made visible to us. He is invisible to us now, but we can visibly see him by faith. We have the eyes of faith, and faith sees him. We know he's there. We know he watches over us. We know when we pray, he hears us. We know that he walks with us. We know that he's there to protect us, to guide us, to lead us, and to teach us. We know it because we have eyes of faith. We don't see him in the physical, but in the spiritual realm, we see him through faith. And, for example, in Hebrews 11:27, by faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses saw him who is invisible. He didn't see him in the physical. He saw him in by faith. He saw him who was invisible. The visible is made visible by faith. That which the world says is not real is a reality to us by faith. So in 2 Corinthians 4:18, Paul tells the Corinthians that we do not look at the things which are seen, the physical realm, but we see the things that are not seen in the invisible realm. And for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen, that is eternal, and that is eternal reality to us, to see the things by faith that are not seen by the world. By the world, it's foolishness. To us, it is more real than the physical world that we live in because of our faith. Our reality is seen through the eyes of faith. And so whatever God says is more real than what we see about life or about ourselves or about other people or about our circumstances. We see through the eyes of faith, and what God says becomes more real to us. This is how we are overcomers in the world, because we walk on what God has said, not on what we see by sight. This is why 5:7 of 2 Corinthians says we walk by faith, not by sight. So God has given us this amazing ability to see beyond the physical realm and to see what is spiritually real in God's eyes. It is real, and therefore it is eternally real. And in situations then that we go through, we choose which reality we will live in. Whatever I'm going through, I choose the reality I live in. Do I live in God's reality of this situation? Then I go to the book. And what the Bible says is true, regardless of what I see or feel. And if God is, and if I don't operate by faith, then I am swallowed up by my circumstances. And I am battered around, and I am beat up by the things that happen in life. Our reality is seen through the eyes of faith. So in Zechariah chapter 3, in verse 1 this morning, the prophet Zechariah has a vision which will declare to the people of Israel God's point of view, God's reality. God's reality. Now Zechariah gets a vision from God, because the Bible is not complete. God in the Old Testament used prophets to give them visions. And even in the early stages of the New Testament, visions and prophecies to communicate to his people what his heart, what his word was. Because there was no Bible to go to. There was no chapter and verse to look up. In the absence of the chapter and verse, God gave this prophecy. And so men would prophesy, and you would have to trust that this guy who's prophesying is getting it from God and not from the devil. But you're assuming it's coming from God, and so you would believe that it was the word of God. There were many false prophets, of course. Many, many times men spoke as if they were speaking from God and said, "Thus saith the Lord," and they were lying. And they didn't, and it wasn't from God, and oftentimes it was from the devil. And so that is a very unsure, unpredictable way of getting God's word. You have to get somebody up here every Sunday morning to say, "Thus saith the Lord," and then I gave you these bunch of words. You got to believe it's coming from God. You got to believe it's not the pepperoni pizza I had yesterday. That I'm getting a little wacky. You got to believe that it's. But God had a better idea. In the New Testament, we got the Old Testament, the New Testament, the completion of the Word of God, and we have the entire revelation of what God has to say to us, and we don't have to depend on men to come up here and say, "Thus saith the Lord." We have the Bible that's "Thus saith the Lord." And if it's not in the Bible, then whatever "Thus saith the Lord" you might have for me, I don't want it. Because that is my criteria. That is the thing that we live our lives by. That is the judge, the critic, it says. The Word of God. And so we go by the Word. We don't go by whoever has a word from the Lord this morning. Because that is very, very shaky. And over the years, I've seen many, many cases where it has been untrue. It wasn't a word from the Lord at all. And people have been led astray. And have got involved in all kinds of things they should never have gotten involved in because somebody said, "Thus saith the Lord," or "God told me." If it's not in the book, don't buy it. It's got to be in the book. So Zechariah is receiving a vision. This is the time of the prophets. He's going to get God's point of view. And he begins in verse 1, chapter 3. "He showed me Jeshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him." So Jeshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. The angel in my Bible is written with the capital A. It's understood that this angel, the word angel means messenger. This messenger of the Lord is in fact a Christophany. It is an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. Later you'll see how he refers to him as the Lord, not just as an angel. In fact, in 2:5 of this chapter, it is the Lord that he is referred to as, not just the angel. But he's first given to us as the angel of the Lord, and then later as the Lord. And Jeshua is standing before him. Now, Jeshua grew up in captivity in Babylon. He was one of the captives that went off to Babylon for 70 years. And along with his father, along with his family, and he grew up in Babylon in 1 Chronicles 6:15. He lived as a slave his whole life until the Persian king Cyrus decreed that the Jews could return and rebuild the temple and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, 2 Chronicles 36:22. The captivity that they went through was not an atonement for their sin. It was simply the consequence of their sin. Only the blood can cleanse sin. Only the blood remits sin. So the captivity, the fact that they suffered for 70 years, that didn't pay for their sin. That was just the consequence of their sin. Consequence is different than atonement. Only the blood sacrifice can atone for sin. And
thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993. Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Free Spirit Worship Center, under the pastoral leadership of Pastors Ronnie and Glenise Glover, located at 364 Swain Boulevard, Green Acres, Florida, at the corner